We are in week three of our series called Foundational Faith, and we are looking at who Christ is. Our current focus is on the claims that Christ made about himself. All right, so if you haven't been here the last couple weeks, you can go back and watch the previous two sermons and get caught up with our study. All right, why are we looking at that? Why are we looking at the claims of Christ? Because in the last couple weeks, we said that Christianity is about what? Christ. Amen. I received that. I think that baby just spoke in tongues. I do. Christianity is about Christ. And if that's the case, we need to know everything we can about Christ. Wouldn't you agree? If that's what we're saying our faith is about, we better get to know who Christ is, including what he claimed to be. And we went through a number of scripture from the book of John last week. So let's look again at some scripture from John in John chapter 1. If you want to turn there, this is a phenomenal chapter. Let me tell you about John chapter 1. This is a go-to defense of the gospel. If you want to know how to tell somebody about Jesus or who he is, let me just put this in your brain. John chapter 1 is a go-to defense for you. I would spend a little time there. Because John chapter 1 is very revealing. It's a revealing chapter that is exploding with claims about who Jesus is. For example, the Apostle John, the writer of John, refers to him as the Word of God in this chapter, right up front, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? That's John 1. The first three verses, all right? And then a little bit further down, John says in verse 18, he says, no one has ever seen God. The one and only Son who is himself God, you see that? And is at the Father's side, he has revealed him. That's a pretty important scripture right there, who is himself God. Don't let anyone tell you that Jesus is not God. People will try to tell you that. You tell them, have you read John 1? That's how you respond, right there. John 1:18. John is clearly stating that Jesus is God. Okay, then John moves us into the testimony of another John, of John the Baptist, who also helps us identify who Jesus is in John chapter 1. You know, John was a great man. John the Baptist was a great man. And people began to think that John the Baptist might be the Messiah. And so the priests and the Levites, they came to him and they asked him, they said, tell us who you are, John. What do you say about yourself? You see, they valued a person's testimony about themselves. Kind of proved that right here. It's funny because later, you know, they told Jesus, hey, I don't value your testimony about yourself. You can't be your own witness. But here they are going to John and saying, what do you say about yourself? All right, just kind of talking out of two sides of their mouth. Here they want to know if John claims to be the Messiah. And he says, no, I'm not the Messiah. He says it clearly. I am not the Messiah. They say, well, are you Elijah? No, I am not Elijah. Are you the prophet who was to come? No, I'm not the prophet who was to come. John replied in John 1:23, John replied in the words of Isaiah, the prophet, he said, I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. Then John plainly points out Jesus. He literally points out Jesus. There is no question. The next day, verse 29, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he says, look, the Lamb of God. He's right there. The one who takes away the sin of the world. That's the guy. See, John chapter 1 doesn't leave us with a lot of questions about who the guy is. It's Jesus. And then further down in verse 34, as we're hearing John's testimony about Jesus, he says, I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. John the Baptist is saying, Jesus is God's chosen one. He's saying he's the Lamb of God. It's not long after that, the disciples begin to follow Jesus. We're still in John chapter 1, by the way. When one disciple named Nathanael meets Jesus, Nathanael proclaims in John 1:49, then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Remember, he did that because Jesus had seen him sitting under a fig tree. And he told him, I saw you before Philip called you. I saw you there. And this is what he proclaims. So Nathanael now is calling him the Son of God, the King of Israel. So we have John saying, this is the Word of God. Jesus is God. And John the Baptist saying, this is God's chosen one and the Lamb of God. And Nathanael saying, this is the Son of God, the King of Israel. It's all in John chapter 1. Now, it's great to hear all this testimony about who others say Jesus is. But if I'm telling someone about Jesus, can I point somewhat to what Jesus says about himself? This is helpful to know because a lot of people make a lot of claims about Jesus. But there's nothing more powerful than his own testimony. Right? And there are times in court cases, right? There are times when it's time for the man on trial to testify for himself because his own testimony has significant impact to the case. Some people will tell you that Jesus isn't God and that he isn't equal with God. And you need to direct them to John chapter 1. But at the end of John chapter 1, we finally arrive at a response from Jesus' own mouth. Here it is, John chapter 1:51. Then he added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now, when Jesus makes a statement, it is a big statement. He calls himself the Son of Man. What Jesus says here in John 1:51 comes from two places in the Old Testament. The first is a direct reference, if you recall, to Jacob's dream of a stairway that was resting upon the earth with its top reaching up to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. So Jesus is saying, you're going to see me doing that. This was a connection with heaven. And Jacob also saw the Lord standing at the top, and the Lord said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac, and I will give you this land, and your descendants are going to spread across the earth, and all the people of earth will be blessed. And Jacob woke up, and he said to the Lord, here, this, right, this is the gate to heaven. It must be here. See, Jesus, by saying that, he is placing himself at the scene by saying those words. That's the first one. The second Old Testament reference in this short little answer that Jesus gives us is when he refers to himself as the Son of Man. Now, the Son of Man was not just a title. It was the title, the big title for the Messiah from the Old Testament. And it comes from Daniel's vision in Daniel chapter 7. You remember we went through the whole book of Daniel at the end of last year. Let's revisit Daniel chapter 7 real quick. Here's what Daniel says. 7 verse 13, he says, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." All authority, all glory, all sovereign power, all nations, all worship, all dominion, all given to one like the Son of Man. To call yourself this, to call yourself the Son of Man, was to claim that what Daniel said was you, was to take that claim, to claim to be that person. Jesus is calling himself the one Daniel saw in the vision. He says, "Let me tell you who I am. I am that guy. I'm the guy from that vision. I was there." Okay, what's the big deal? Right, to further emphasize just how powerful his claim to be the Son of Man was, it was this title in which he lays claim to Daniel 7 that eventually got Jesus crucified. So let's fast forward all the way to the end, to Jesus' arrest, as he stood silent before the chief priests and the Sanhedrin, right, the entire council of religious leaders in Matthew chapter 26, we see this. The Bible says that they were looking for evidence to put Jesus to death. Everybody say evidence. Evidence. They wanted evidence to put Jesus to death. This was the evidence. Matthew chapter 26, verse 63, here he is. "The high priest said to him, 'I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God.' And Jesus answered, 'I am the Son of God.'" No, he didn't say that. He didn't answer that. This is what he answered. Verse 64, he said, "You have said so," Jesus replied. "But I say to all of you, from now on you will see," what? "The Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Jesus not only claims to be the Son of Man, he quotes Daniel to the high priest. And he's essentially saying, "I am higher than you. I am your Lord." The reason they asked this question, there is no middle ground to the answer. Either you are or you are not. Either Jesus had to be an imposter, or Jesus lays claim here to being the very nature of God in a human body as he stands before this council and is therefore claiming to be equal with God. I want you to remember that verse, Matthew 26, verse 64. Because that was the end of the trial. That was what Jesus confessed. That is what got Jesus killed. That was the evidence that he claimed to be the Son of Man. The confession that caused the conviction of blasphemy. And it's why the high priest tore his robes at that moment. And then, immediately after this confession, they spat in his face. They beat him and they handed him over to Pilate for the execution sentencing because he said he was the Son of Man. It's interesting to study these things and to discover in my research that not everyone agrees that this title carries much significance. There's a lot of Jewish folks, for example, that don't put a lot of stock in the Son of Man title. In Christianity, it's widely accepted that this is a significant messianic title. But I want you to know something about it. This is Jesus' favorite claim about himself. This is his most favorite claim. And we know this because he often refers to himself in this way. And he did so not once here in John chapter 1, not twice there before the council, not three times, but over 80 times in the four Gospels. He says, I am the Son of Man. I think he believed it, wouldn't you say? He begins with that title by taking that on in John chapter 1, and he ends with that title here in Matthew 26 when he's convicted and crucified. He loved this title. He may have loved it the most. I don't know for sure, but he may have loved it the most because it is the title that speaks to the world that he was both fully God and fully man. The fact that he calls himself the Son of Man, it's actually really helpful, isn't it? That we see him more than just God, although we should respect that and have great reverence for his presence. We can also call him the Son of Man. This is the clearest evidence we have that Jesus believed he was the one spoken of from the Old Testament. Now, of course he believed that, but I'm just presenting the evidence for you to understand and to help others understand, because we have to understand who Christ is, amen? This was a direct claim to his deity, and yet here he is in human form. His deity was in bodily form. That is just mind-blowing to try to understand that. It's just like too big. But this is what he claimed. Why is it so important to understand this? Because people have opinions about who Jesus was. But the greatest offense that Jesus ever spoke was this claim he made about himself. Why did he die? Well, we know his intention. As a Christian, we understand his intention was to die for our sins. His intention was salvation and to redeem us as his own. That he's your Savior, that you believe that he died for you, then you have to take into consideration what he believed about himself. You cannot throw out his claim to deity and still claim to worship him. That's not Christianity. Because if he was delusional about that, then he was a liar. And if all Jesus came to do was to lie and to infuriate leadership and to start a revolution, you know, surrounding self-worship, then Jesus, in fact, deserved to die that criminal's death for being a manipulative false prophet who just took advantage of poor people. That's not who he was. It's not who he claimed to be. Amen? Now, what do we do with these claims? Because we've heard them and we know them, and we're going to go back and study them. John chapter 1, right? This week, dive into John chapter 1. You will not regret it. What do we do with these claims that Jesus made? We listen to God's word. We listen to the Apostle Paul, who at one time was a skeptic about Christianity, just like many people out there in the world, who at one time didn't have Christ as his firm foundation. Here's what he said to the church in Colossae. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 10. Let's read what Paul said to the church. He said, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as your Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." See, he's saying he's the foundation. Verse 8, "See to it then," this is really important for what we're discussing today, "see to it then that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on" what? Christ. You see, Christianity is about Christ. It is built on Christ. And if Christ can't come through, then it all collapses. So don't let the world deceive you with hollow philosophy. Build your faith on Christ alone. Verse 9, "For in Christ," listen to this, "all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." See, that's what Paul believed. That Christ was fully God and that Christ was fully man. The one who came, the Old Testament prophet, who was prophesied about, the Savior, the Lord, the one who is standing at the top of Jacob's stairway, the Word who was there at the beginning, who came in the flesh. Deity lives in bodily form. Amen. Without that, we would be lost. That is the gospel. That is Christianity. That is how we build our firm foundation. And he says, "In Christ," verse 10, "in Christ you have been brought to fullness." See, we can never be brought to fullness without Christ. We would always be lacking something without Christ. He is the head over every power and authority. Amen. See, when we start to dig into who Christ is and what our faith is about and what Christianity is about, this goes way beyond saying Jesus was just some great teacher. Okay, if Jesus was right, then he was right about himself. Last week, we looked at some of the other things that Jesus said about himself, and there's so much more. We're going to go through some of that on Wednesday night. If you want to come out this Wednesday night, I've got a lot more scripture to go through, but we're done, like, already, today. Okay, but last week we said, hey, you know, he said, I am the bread of life, your only source. I am the light of the world, your spiritual truth. I am the way, there is no other way. Some of those claims were perhaps hard to understand for people. Perhaps claims people could live with, but then simply dismiss or reject or reason away. All right, okay, Mr. Self-Proclaimed Messiah. So you claim to be the Messiah. Well, others were kind of Messiah-like. You know, Moses was kind of Messiah-like. Some thought John might be the Messiah. But people got the most upset, not so much about Jesus claiming to be the bread of life or the light of the world, but claiming to have a special relationship with God, being equal to God, being God himself. And they were willing to give him some of those claims. Okay, so you want to be the light of the world? Fine. So you want to be the bread of life? Fine. I'm not belittling any of that. Those are amazing claims that Jesus made. But when you say that you have a closer relationship with God than everyone else, those are the claims that infuriated leaders. They proved offensive and insulting. And some people became angry that Jesus would make a claim like that and resented him. But he took on the title of the Son of Man, flesh, that he lived, that he suffered through some of the same things we've suffered through death and loss and tragedy and hardship and persecution. He is able to relate because he is the Son of Man. I want to invite the worship team to come back up. We'll finish with a last song today. Thank you, guys. This is what Jesus claimed. And we're going to wrap up the section of what he claimed today and move on in the study next week. But if you decide to put your faith in him, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe at some point through this series, and if you trust in what he said about himself, then to know him is to know God. And to see him is to see God. And to believe in him is to believe in God. And to receive him is to receive God. And to hate him is to hate God. Let's pray together. Lord, you said, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. Lord, just encourage us this week to dive into your word, to have the desire to know you, to trust you, to trust the claims that you made. And you said, from now on, you do know him and you have seen him. And we have, because we have seen you, Jesus, come to this earth and live for us. Thank you for your testimony and the testimony of your life lived on this earth that was for our benefit and for our salvation. Amen.